Welcome to the Bethesda Church Podcast. We're so glad you've joined us today. If you'd like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at BethesdaChurch.tv/give and simply select the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Right, thank you so much for your giving. Anybody excited to be in church today? Amen. Man, it is so good to see you in God's house. What a wonderful Easter we had last weekend. All the life change. We just celebrate that. And obviously, Baptism Sunday is so much fun as well. Look at somebody and tell them real quick, you're looking better than I thought you would. Come on, you're looking better than I thought you would. All right. Break the ice a little bit. It's so awesome to see what God is doing, and you can't do this without the generosity of the people and the dream team and the staff that work so diligently to set things up, and even Trish covering all the little details to make sure that baptism is a wonderful experience. And sometimes these behind-the-scenes people, they just work very diligently and no one ever notices it. But will y'all show Trish a little love? We're very thankful for her. She wears a lot of hats. I didn't plan to do that, but sorry, Trish. She's fine with being behind the scenes. But she wears a lot of hats. She works with the state police, and she works here, and she's a mom, and she's a wife, and so we just honor you and the gift that you are, because sometimes I forget details, so much so that I text her at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning and say, hey, I thought about this. Can you do A, B, and C? And she's always like, sure, no problem, got it. How many know you need some people like that in your life? And so we celebrate her gift and all that God did already through baptism today. We're going to close out our series entitled Jesus Over Everything. And I've enjoyed talking about this. We did in week one, we kicked it off by talking about Jesus over your past. And then last week, Easter, we talked about Jesus over your present. And so you guys probably know where I'm going today, right? I want to talk to you about Jesus over my future. Jesus over my future. I want you to go with me to Matthew 6. We're going to get there in a minute. But we're going to focus on one verse this morning as we communicate the fact that Jesus is over your future. We're going to be looking at verse 34. And I want to give you a little context before I read that, because Jesus, in this text, he is helping his followers with the topic of worry. And I found this interesting because as I was preparing to talk to you about Jesus being over your future, I understand that a lot of people, when they look at their future, they look at their future through the lens of worry, through the lens of fear, that many people approach their future with worry instead of faith. We anticipate the future with worry and anxiety instead of with faith and expectation. And some people could never walk through a door of opportunity or even stand with the patience for their tomorrow, because instead of seeing their tomorrow through a lens of faith, they see their tomorrow through a lens of fear. And so Jesus is talking to them about not worrying about where they will live or what they will wear or what they will eat. He actually goes as far to say that pagans, those who don't worship God, worry about those things. But how many are thankful that we're not pagans and we're not outside of the covenant, that we are children, we've been adopted into this covenant with God, and we honestly don't have to worry about where we're going to live, what kind of clothes we're going to wear, what food we're going to eat. How many know Jesus knows how to take care of all of his children? And so he's setting them up. He's talking to them about their future, and he's talking to them about not worrying, that our future is secure. That our responsibility is to seek God first, and everything else will take care of itself. And he goes through this long discourse, and it ends in verse 34. And that's our text. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Hit your neighbor and tell them real quick, don't worry about it. Come on, that's the wrong neighbor. Find somebody else, say, don't worry about it. Whatever it is, don't worry about it. During World War I, there was a French soldier that he used to carry this writing with him to help him overcome worry. And this writing went like this. It says, of two things, one is certain. Either you are at the front or you are behind the lines. If you are at the front, of two things, one is certain. Either you are exposed to danger or you are in a safe place. If you are exposed to danger, of two things, one is certain. Either you are wounded or you are not wounded. If you are wounded, of two things, one is certain. Either you recover or you die. If you recover, there is no need to worry. And if you die, you cannot worry. So why worry? And I love that. I love that. It's powerful. And this is somewhat Jesus's perspective about tomorrow as it relates to worry, fear, and anxiety. And it's amazing how we can compartmentalize our faith, that we believe Jesus can save us, but we're not sure that he can heal us. We believe Jesus can deliver us, but we're not sure he can provide for us. We believe that we are assured of heaven, but we worry about tomorrow on earth, as if Jesus does not have our best interests in mind. And worry is the feeling and state of mind that many approach their future with. Instead of seeing our future through the eyes of faith, anticipation, and expectation, we look at our future through the lens of worry. What is worry? Worry is an anxious or fearful state of mind. Worry causes increased muscle tension, upset stomach, anxiety, depression, which leads to more serious health problems. Chronic worriers often suffer from low self-esteem. And here's a really cool meaning. The Greek word for worry literally means to be inwardly divided. To be inwardly divided or distracted. Worry is a divided mind that moves between doubt and faith. It moves between believing God and not trusting God. The English word worry comes from an Anglo-Saxon word which means to choke or to strangle. That when you and I give worry a seat at our table, it will literally choke out our future. Worry has a way of paralyzing us to where we're not able to make wise decisions or even decisions at all. I like the Beatitude that says, blessed is the man who's too busy to worry during the day and too sleepy to worry at night. How many know if we would just manage today, God will take care of our tomorrow? That if we will just do what we know to do today, God is already in our tomorrow. Some of us don't understand that God lives outside of time in something we call eternity. That's where God lives. He lives in eternity. We live in time. But because God is outside of time and lives in eternity, he can look at time like a football field. He can see your past, he can see your present, and he can see your future all on the same playing field because God lives outside of our time. And God is in charge of your tomorrow. Your future is secure. Jesus truly is over your future. And so with that, Jesus commands us not to worry. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't have the normal sense of duty or concern that makes us strive for excellence and to keep us from being careless. He doesn't mean to have a carefree attitude with absolutely no plans. The old English translation of take no thought for tomorrow can be misunderstood because Jesus means we are not to be obsessed with fear about physical provisions because it reduces our entire lives down to things that we possess. And how many of you understand that life is more than material things? If you know life is more than material things, give him a praise right there. It's more than that. And he's saying, I don't want you to be bogged down with that. I don't want you to be obsessed with that. And he talks to them about the birds of the air. And he tells them that worry is conquered when we learn from nature. That even creation testifies that of God's eternal power and also his divine nature. And the point is today, please don't leave here and say, Pastor Chad said, I don't have to work anymore. Because that's not what I'm teaching you. Work is a fundamental part of life. Even the birds go out every day, gather food, they build nests, they migrate during bad weather, they don't wait for God to drop food into their beaks, they do what they need to do, but they do not fret about provision. They go out and do what they're supposed to do without worrying about provision. In a sense, they trust God's providence as a matter of instinct. Birds don't store away food. Jesus said, we have no need to store things up. He said, but we actually should store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. And so what Jesus is doing is that he is emphasizing that the greater relationship is with God. And if God cares about the birds, how many of you understand you're more important than the birds? You are created in a higher place than the birds of the air. And so he's making this distinction that if I'm taking care of the birds, I will also take care of you. And somebody that came into this room this morning that's been concerned about your future and what you're going to do tomorrow, what you're going to do next month, and what you're going to do next year, and you've been worrying and staying up at night, and it's paralyzing you, God sent me here today to tell you that he's already in your tomorrow. He is already working out your future. He is already making crooked places straight, that if you'll manage today, God will handle tomorrow. But you got to put your trust and your confidence in God's ability to handle your tomorrow. That God will provide is the answer to worry. And he tells us in Matthew 6, he said, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? The fact is that worry is more likely to lessen one's lifespan than to extend it. To trust God is enough. That Mark Twain, he said this, I've suffered a great many catastrophes in life. Most of them never happened. Because worry takes you into your future imagining the worst possible outcomes of all these things that could go wrong, that might go wrong. And worry focuses on what is the worst thing that can happen, what might happen, and we deal with the hypothetical and we get preoccupied with the what if. Dr. Charles Mayo, he said this, he said, half the hospital beds are filled with people who worry themselves there. How many of you know that worry does all kinds of things to you? It does all kinds of things to you mentally, emotionally, and yes, even physical. That when we worry, it lessens our quality of life. Worry is often caused by the tyranny of tomorrow. We look ahead and we worry what might go wrong. We imagine all the possibilities of negative things that could happen, and we start to believe that they will happen. And tomorrow begins to fill our lives with anxiety instead of anticipation. We say, tomorrow, what will happen to our lives? Many people are looking at their own lives. What will happen in my life? Will I be healthy? Will I be successful? Will I be free from danger? Will I ever find purpose and meaning? Tomorrow, what will happen to the economy? Will we prosper? Will the economy improve? Will Social Security be there? Will our retirement accounts be secure? We think about tomorrow, what will happen to our families? Will our marriage survive? Will our children be safe? Will our families survive the pressure of the times in which we live? We look at tomorrow and we ask, what will happen to our nation? Will we be a strong democracy? Will we slide into socialism and secularism? Will we be safe from terrorism? Will we remain free? We look into tomorrow and we ask, what will happen with our salvation? Are we sure of heaven? Do we have eternal life? Do we know that our sins are forgiven and that we are secure in God's hands? And the answer to all these questions is the fact that we are to trust God with our future, just like David said, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. How many know God is faithful? He is faithful. Now, this message today is a very simple message, but I know that it's applicable to all of us because there are times that we are afraid. One of the things I've had to learn to do over the last few years is because we want to make decisions and do things without fear being involved. But I think it's 365 times the Bible tells us to fear not. And I think the reason the Bible tells us that 365 times, that's once one for every day of the year, is because if there wasn't something to fear, God wouldn't say, fear not. What God is saying is that sometimes you got to make decisions and put one step in front of the other while afraid. In other words, do it while afraid. Do it while you're scared. Do it while you don't have all the answers. Because if we don't, what happens is our life becomes stuck and we never fulfill the thing God has called us to fulfill. We get stuck in life. And that's where a lot of people are living. So I want to give you three points today that come right out of this verse we read. Point number one, don't worry about tomorrow. Come on, touch your neighbor and tell them, don't worry about tomorrow. Come on, that's the wrong neighbor. Tell somebody else, don't worry about tomorrow. Somebody needs to hear that. You got a meeting tomorrow you're dreading. You've got a conversation you got to have you don't really want to have. You got a bill to pay that you don't know how you're going to pay for it. You got something in your tomorrow. Jesus tells us, don't worry about tomorrow because I am over your future. Now, sometimes when you want real wisdom, you got to go to Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown and Linus were talking one day about all their problems. And Linus said, I guess it's wrong always to be worrying about tomorrow. Maybe we should think about today. And Charlie Brown replied, no, that's giving up. I'm still hoping yesterday will get better. Now, I mean, that's a serious, optimistic person, right? That is a whole lot of hope. I'm believing yesterday is going to get better. The thought of tomorrow, it actually poses two problems. We may tend to either predict what will happen tomorrow, or we will fall into the trap of procrastination. So I want to give you two things kind of with that in thought this morning, is that we have to avoid prediction. We need to avoid prediction. Tomorrow often leads people to speculate and to prognosticate, kind of like the media does. News stations will do this about events or the economy or sports events. Instead of just giving you the news, what do? They predict what will happen instead of just telling us what is happening. And so what they give us is not really news, it's hypothetical speculation. And a lot of us, we're no different because we're trying to predict what will happen. Even preachers will try to predict exactly when Jesus is coming. And every time I watch preachers try to predict exactly when Jesus is coming, I laugh. Because the Bible is very, very clear that no man knows the day or the hour. And a lot of us, we need to know what Jesus told the disciples in Acts 1 and 7. He said, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. That the word set means to predestine. And he went on to tell them, instead of worrying about when all this is going to happen in the future, he said, what I want you to do today is to be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. Quit focusing so much on tomorrow. Be empowered today so that you can make a difference tomorrow. How many know if we'll get our head out of the sand of the future and we begin managing today, get empowered today, equipped today, handled today, God will handle tomorrow. And that's what he was trying to tell him. Be filled with the power today so that you'll be equipped for tomorrow. So we either begin to predict when we worry about tomorrow, or, and this is where a large part of people fall, they begin to procrastinate. And we have to avoid procrastination. Mark Twain said, never put off till tomorrow what you can do the day after tomorrow. Some of you are like, that is my quote. I'm putting that on the fridge. Never do tomorrow what you can put off till the day after tomorrow. Some of you can't identify with that. The mistake we make is either prediction or procrastination. And I find it interesting that those who are so concerned about tomorrow have the most trouble getting things done today. The ones who are overly obsessed with what might happen tomorrow are usually the same people that don't get anything done today because they are procrastinating everything to something in the future. That everything is about one day when, or when this happens, or what will happen. And throughout Scripture, we are told over and over that today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice and not neglect him. Today is the day. Hit somebody and tell them today. Today. When we put everything off till tomorrow, we begin to procrastinate because worry, listen, the root of worry is fear. And what does fear do? It paralyzes. You're not able to move when you're in fear. You're not able to make, how many of you have ever been fearful of what was going to happen in your future, and because of that, you could not make decisions today? Have you been there? I've been there. I've lived this out. I've walked this out on more than one occasion, that because I'm fearful about the future, I can't even make simple decisions today. And so we have to be intentional to avoid predicting the future, and we got to be intentional to avoid procrastination. It's kind of like this. When Moses came to Pharaoh and he wanted God, he spoke to Pharaoh and he was like, Pharaoh, when do you want God to remove the frogs, this plague of frogs? The Bible says that Pharaoh answered Moses and said, tomorrow will be fine. And it's almost like Pharaoh was saying, just give me one more night with the frogs. And some of us, we're living our life basically saying every day, give me one more night with the frogs, because we refuse to make a decision and handle today. But I want to convince somebody, let's not spend another night with the frogs. Let's not spend another night doing what the enemy wants us to do. Let's manage our today. And let's go into tomorrow with expectation, with anticipation that God is doing good things in our life. Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Secondly, right from Matthew 6, tomorrow will worry about itself. That's point two. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Jesus is over your future. This is an important truth that we need to consider today, because whatever may take place in the tomorrow of our lives, it will take care of itself. And a few things that we can learn from this is this. One, the future is not predetermined, but produced by our choices. I think some people make a bunch of bad decisions over and over and over, and then they're living a miserable life, and then they want to say, well, this is what God decided for me. Your future is not predetermined. Your future is produced by your choices. Your decisions will produce your future. It's not already planned out. It's not already done, and it's going to happen no matter what you do. That God said to his people, he said, today I have set before you blessing and cursing. I have set before you life and death. And what did he say next? He said, you choose. In other words, your future is based on your decisions, on choices that you make, decisions that you make. Now, with that being said, we understand that the future is unknown to us. It takes its own turns. It's not predetermined, but produced by what we do today. That does not mean that we should not make plans. But it also means that in making plans, we make the best plans that we can, but we also have to trust God when our plans don't go according to plan. How many know that their life is fluid? There are ebbs and flows to life. And we do our best as children of God to make good decisions, to be wise, to make decisions based on the Word of God, to try to produce a future that we want. We should do all those things. But how many know that sometimes life will throw you a curveball? And as children of God, we got to be willing and able to flow when life is not going exactly the way we planned it. We got to be okay with that. That life is not. Some of us, our problem is that we are too rigid. We're not fluid enough. That the moment it don't go the way, all the control freaks right now are squirming. That the moment it don't go the way we planned it, we can't even function. We're so black and white. We are so either or. We are so this or that. You know what I've had to learn as a child of God? Sometimes things in the kingdom of God, now I'm not talking about fundamental truths from the Word of God, they are black and white. But sometimes in our life, it's not all black and white. Do you know sometimes God will set before you an open door and give you the opportunity to pick that door or not pick it? It's your call that you get to make decisions. There are times when God will speak to you and tell you what to choose. In those moments, let me give you some advice. Listen. How many know he knows what he's talking about? If you're presented with two options in your life and you've prayed about it, you fasted about it, you sought counsel about it, you've asked people their opinion about it, and you're presented with two options, I can do this or do that, and you don't have peace one way or the other, you don't know, here's what you got to understand. God's allowing you to choose. He's saying, I'm trusting you enough, make a call. Pick what you want. Now, some of us, including me, I'm intimidated by that. Because I would much rather have God say,
Chad, there's a burning bush right outside your window.
I don't know how God talks like audibly, but how many would appreciate if God just showed up like that every time? Like I would totally appreciate if every time it was that obvious. There are sometimes it's not that obvious. And neither decision's wrong. God is saying you get to pick, and I'll bless you either way. How many know God is a blesser? And God has the ability to bless you. And at times he will give you an opportunity to make a decision. So the future's not predetermined, but produced by our choices. Planning, listen to me, all the control freaks in the room, planning does not equal control. We have to be able to adapt to unexpected changes. Anxious people overreact and can't cope when life don't go exactly the way they expected it to go. Proverbs 19 and 21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Wisdom is the ability to trust God with your future, Make plans and decisions based on God's word and the wisdom he has given you, but also be able to adjust to things when they don't go the way you thought they were going to go. That life is fluid. Now, last part of this point too. We all need to plan for tomorrow, but we need to submit the plans to God. We should all make plans with an attitude that says, if it is the Lord's will. There's a scripture in the book of James that messes with me at times, and I'm going to go ahead, since it messes with me, I'm going to let it mess with you. James chapter 4, starting in verse 13, it says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. In other words, it's great to make plans, but we need to submit those plans to the will of God. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Last point, each day has trouble of its own. Everybody say amen to that. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word today is used over and over in Scripture, that we are to do what needs done today, that we are to take the step that is in front of us and trust that tomorrow will work itself out. I like to say it like this: manage today and let God manage tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus says, do not worry. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the things that you and I worry about, they will take care of themselves. And so what he's teaching us is priority. He's talking about getting our priorities in order, that we are to seek first the kingdom. That which is first is that which is most important. How many know that outside of seeking God first, that has to be the number one thing in your life? That if God is not first, listen, don't get mad at me, husbands and wives, your spouse is not first. As a matter of fact, if your spouse is first, you are now in idol worship. People make idols out of their spouse. They make idols out of their kids. We put them ahead of God. What will the kids want? What will the kids say? Their kids. Direct them. Parent them. They don't get to make all the calls. Seek God first. I didn't know I was going to help your marriage. Some of y'all's marriage would get a lot better if you'd stop prioritizing the kids over your spouse. That didn't cost you a dime. The most important relationship you have is that with God, and you seek him first. The second most important relationship you have is with your spouse. The kids are third. And then you watch families fall apart. Marriages are fine. Then they have kids, and all the attention goes to the kids. And they neglect the marriage. And then they wonder why the marriage is suffering. And the marriage isn't what it used to be before kids. God never intended to give you gifts as great as kids are and for you to take a gift he gave you and you use that gift to destroy the marriage he gave you. Oh my goodness. This is not in my notes. That's for somebody. Love your spouse. Love your spouse. Prioritize your relationship with God. Prioritize your relationship with your spouse. The greatest gift you can give your kids is an incredible marriage. There's not a better gift you could give them. I'll be here all day. Jesus, I'm having a good time. So you don't have to, listen, you don't have to necessarily make a list to understand what is important, because several things may be important. You know, there's a lot of things that may have equal value, but your relationship with God has to take precedence. And listen, as a pastor, there have been seasons when I didn't prioritize this relationship the most. And when I don't prioritize this relationship the most, you know what happens every time? It affects negatively every relationship I have this way. That when I prioritize him first, it makes me better at relating to the people God has in my life. Don't get your life so filled with activities that keep you anxious. Simplicity equals peace. Complexity equals stress. I'm going to say that again. Simplicity equals peace. Complexity equals stress. Focus on the spiritual, not the material. Our relationship with God is the most important relationship we have, and it affects all other relationships. And simplicity is always better than complexity. Always better. There was a man who was walking down the street, and he saw a frog. Hit your neighbor and say, listen to this story. So he picked the frog up, and the frog said, if you kiss me, I'll turn into a beautiful princess. The man put the frog in his pocket without kissing it. And the frog said, wait, why haven't you kissed me? And the man responded, at this point in my life, I prefer to have a talking frog. Come on, y'all. Simplicity is better than complexity. Not you, baby. Not you. Not you. Worship team, y'all better come help me. Security, you come help me too. How do you recover? I debated whether to put that in there or not. This is one of those moments where maybe I made the wrong decision, right? The whole point is that you and I must live by priorities. And we got to know what is first, what is important. Ask yourself today, who are the most important people in your life? What are the most important jobs that you need to accomplish? What are those things? What's the most important goals? How many times do we have goals for our life that we never get to act on because we stay so stressed out with all these extra activities that we do that suck the life right out of us, and we're not able to lean in and accomplish the goals that we have for our own lives? Worry is an exercise in futility. Worry, listen to me, worry will not pay the bills. Worry will not secure a job promotion. It will not restore a marriage. Worry will not control your children. Worry will not heal a sickness. Worry will not make you happy. The facts are, when you break worry down of what we worry about, 40% on things that will never happen, 30% on things about the past that we cannot change, 12% on criticism by others, mostly untrue, 10% on health, which gets worse while we worry, and 8% about real problems that we will figure out how to handle. That's what we worry about. It's an exercise in futility. It is a luxury that you and I cannot afford. Jesus made this statement. He said, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with the anxieties of life. Worry neutralizes your faith. Faith overcomes the world. But when we don't have it, when we don't have our faith intact, the world begins to overcome us. I want to tell somebody today strongly that Jesus is over your future. That all you have to do is to manage each day to the best of your ability and trust God with your tomorrow. How many are thankful that Jesus is over your past, your present, and your future? Amen. I want you to stand with me all over the room today. I want to say something in closing that I think is very, very important. I think when it comes to our future, most of us in church who are saved, when we think about the future, a lot of times we think about heaven. And I get that heaven is important, but I think it's also important for us to understand that God's plan is not just to get you to heaven. That God's plan has always been to get heaven into the earth. That going to heaven isn't necessarily fulfilling God's will for your life. Dominating earth is fulfilling God's will for your life. Religion prepares man to leave earth, but the kingdom equips man to rule the earth. The kingdom focuses on occupation, while religion focuses on evacuation. And the religious church is always focused on escaping because it has no anointing for kingdom impact. We are here not to just focus on getting to heaven. We are here to invade our city. We're here to invade our law. We're here to invade our schools. We're here to invade the sports world, the entertainment world. How many know? We are here to make a difference everywhere we go. And we can't make that difference if we're only focused on one day getting to heaven. When Jesus announced his ministry and made his first public statement, what did he say? He said, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is here right now to repent, to turn. Why? Because thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's always been God's design to get heaven into the earth. And the way God gets heaven into the earth is through his people. That's how he does it. He does it through you. He does it through me. I want you to bow your heads all over the room today. No one looking around for the next couple of moments. I want to speak to people in this room today that the truth is you're not in right relationship with God. And we could talk about being ready for heaven, but we also need to talk about you being ready for today and tomorrow, of what God wants to do in your life. What things are you missing in this moment because you're not trusting God today with your very life? The most important decision you can make, the most important decision I can make, is prioritizing God first. And I want to speak to people in this room that would say, Pastor, God's not first. I'm not in relationship with him. But I want to change that today. I want to make a decision to follow Jesus. If that's you, would you just throw your hand up right there where you are and say, Pastor, you're talking to me. I choose today to follow Jesus. Anyone at all, you would say that's me. If you would just raise that hand where you are. Anyone at all. I need to make things right with God. Anyone at all. One here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing right now in that life. Anyone else wants a moment of decision? It's a moment of decision. Anyone else? I want us to pray out loud. Going to pray with this brother back here as well that's making a decision to follow Jesus. I want every voice lifted. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I'm a sinner. I've committed sins. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. So I ask you, Jesus, to save me. I repent for all my sins, and I choose to follow you. Thank you for saving me and changing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, church, let's give God a praise right there. You can do better than that. Let's give him some praise. It's good news right there. I'm gonna ask the staff and prayer team to come. Worship team, you guys go ahead and cue that song up. I'm gonna pray and get out of the way. These altars are open for anything that you need during this last worship song. We're believing for healing, deliverance, freedom, whatever it is that you need. Listen, don't leave this place if you need prayer How many know God will meet us here in this moment, and he will do something awesome in your life? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to open up these altars. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We thank you for what you're doing in this place, for salvation, for baptism, for healing and deliverance, God. And Lord, we pray over this next couple of minutes right now that you would move in power and in demonstration. We speak Jesus over this house in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Bethesda Church. We hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our website, BethesdaChurch.tv. Thank you for joining us and have a great day.